It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
What's gonna happen tonight? What's gonna happen?
We're gonna whoop their
All right.
Good morning,
afternoon, evening, brunch time, lunch time, podcasting after dark time. You can probably tell that by the sound of the voice time. Not a great second half for the Vols today time. Not a really nice way to put that time. So we'll just move on time. Whatever time of day it is, boys and girls, it's the right time for the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio here on a Saturday evening, late Saturday evening here in the witching hour. But it's not just me on this podcast. Due to COVID rules, it's just kind of how it's going to be on the road from now on, or at least for this season, I think, guys. We're sending only one on the road. That's the rules. Got to live with them. But the good news is sending one of this fella on the road is like sending an army of mortal men. Patrick Brown, what's up, my man?
Not much. Of course, it didn't rain at all after all the talk about rain during the week. I don't think it rained at all during the game. Tennessee's lost to Georgia. But I can tell you it was raining quite a bit on the way back from Athens tonight.
Yeah, I was looking at that, and I think I was kind of laughing about it. I sent you a text message today saying, hey, man, it looks like the game starts at like 3:35. It looks like around 3:45 it's going to start raining, and then it's just not going to stop for like the rest of the game. And that definitely didn't happen. So, hey, there was one positive. More positive than that is that you got back at least part of the way home this evening after that what sounded like some nasty rain there. But things not so great for the Vols in the second half of this football game today. Final score, number 3, Georgia, 44. Number 14, Tennessee, 21. Pat, I hate to say tale of two halves because that's one of my least favorite cliches in all of sports, but kind of what it was.
Yeah, and I should have made the segue from the weather to the second half because it was a deluge against the Vols. Then that second half outscored 27-0. I don't remember what was wasn't it just 14-0 last year, or might have been 17.
It wasn't a lot.
And I don't know that one was as dominant a showing as Georgia was on Saturday. But yeah, you know, Tennessee felt great about where they were at halftime. Even Josh Palmer after the game saying that he was convinced they were going to win the game at halftime. Then the second half happened and Tennessee just outplayed, outcoached, and Georgia flexed its muscles and sort of kind of humbled Tennessee there a little bit after halftime.
Yeah, and to be clear, I think that Tennessee, even in the first half, did not play great football. I really believe that. I think Tennessee did not play nearly as well as it could have. It made a couple of really nice short yardage stops there, did some good things. I think there were some things that were pretty impressive, but also made a lot of mistakes and just a lot of dumb plays that you cannot make. DeAndre Johnson getting booted, dropping a pick there that ends up being a touchdown a few plays later, penalty after penalty on the offensive line. We'll talk more about that and maybe what caused some of that in a minute. But just a whole lot of really, really dumb mistakes. And still, though, they had the wherewithal. They made enough plays. They sat there and they took a lead into the break there at halftime. And you're thinking, okay, Tennessee gets the ball to start the second half. You know what? All things considered, could have been better, but still fortunate, you know, to be ahead. And then just the first two possessions of the third quarter were just, I mean, that was for the people who give Jarrett Garantano a hard time, that's just more meat on the bone there, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's crazy to say that this was only Jarrett Garantano's fault. I mean, that's just missing the forest for the trees. Because
I agree.
I don't think anybody on Tennessee's offense played well today. I mean, the offensive line looked overwhelmed, overmatched. It looked like the moment was too big for them. And part of that should go to Georgia. I mean, this defense I think is as good as advertised. You know, Tennessee's running backs didn't get, you know, didn't have much room. They didn't make much happy when they did have some room. Wide receivers weren't getting open. A lot of contested catches had to be made. So it's not just the quarterback. It's easy for a lot of people to point to the quarterback. And obviously Jared Garantano made some big mistakes, but it's not his fault. His left tackle got beat by Azeez Ojulari, who then stripped him. The interception, he probably should have just eaten that one. And he said that was a bad play, but he was also getting hit on that one. He was getting hit on most of the day. So, that was the story of this game, is those turnovers there to start the second half, the turnovers, and then of course the back-breaking fumble there, a blitz. Again, a guy comes free, strip sack, fumble, touchdown. Those three turnovers were something that Jeremy Pruitt pointed to the difference in the game. But the difference in the game was that Georgia controlled the line of scrimmage, especially with their defense. Tennessee could not run the ball. They could not protect Garantano. Georgia had free runners, free rushers all game long. And when Tennessee did do good things, they tended to shoot themselves in the foot with penalties. So 10 penalties, 84 yards. You almost have to play a perfect game against a team like Georgia. And Tennessee played far, far from a perfect game. That's why they lost by, 23 points. So, a good reminder for Tennessee of when you do some things right, you can hang in a game against a team like that. But if you do so many things wrong, you're not gonna have a chance to win.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that I want to be careful how I say this, because I do think that too much, as usual, will be made of the quarterback performance in this game. I do think that is it'll be a little bit unfair. But I also think that the reason I said that is because that's going to be the conversation in a lot of ways, whether it's fair or not. And Garantano he does not do himself favors when he's put on stages like this. And it's – I know that reasonable minds can disagree on some of these things. And there were a lot more problems than him in this game, but I just wanted to mention that first because it's going to be what people discuss. Listen, you had minus one rushing yards as a team for the entire game, which is just – it is what it is. That's just terrible. You had the offensive line had some procedure issues again, had some penalties, other penalties again, whiffed on some blocks again. And hey, that's going to happen some against Georgia, but – It probably happened too much. And I think we were talking about it after the game, and Grant Ramey, our coworker, disagreed with me also because I said, I think Tennessee has to be a little bit better up front than that. And Grant said he thought the story of the game was more Georgia showing out than Tennessee not showing up. But I still think when you look at the talent Tennessee has up front offensively, that was inexcusably bad football from that group. And I think that if you want to go forward as a program, you have to have standards, you have to have expectations, you have to have your most talented players, your most talented position groups have to perform, and those guys just have to perform better, in my opinion, than they did today.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I mean, there were obviously breakdowns collectively, when guys aren't picked up, sliding protections, making sure who's got who, and when there's when the team shows blitz and when the other team shows blitzes, and there were moments where it was just one-on-one guys getting lipped. I mean, Wandy Morris got beat for one sack. I know Cade Mays had an Olay there that I think that might have been the fumble that Tennessee got back.
I think
they
right.
Lost two, and they were fortunate not to lose a third. So I mean, it's hard, Tennessee could have had Peyton Manning back there today. I don't know how much of a difference it really would have made, because Georgia had guys in the backfield all day, and not a lot of running room. And like you said, Wes, that's a prideful group. I think a lot of people expected better. They did have a little bit of a situation. Jerome Carvin, I think, only played maybe a couple snaps, so they moved Cade Mays down to guard and started Darnell Wright. And but they were, I don't know that the lineup change really made that big a difference, just because Georgia was really good and took advantage and clearly won that matchup. But, Tennessee's offensive line, to touch on the penalties, sometimes penalties happen because the other team has better players.
Sure.
That's Tennessee last week doesn't have any against Missouri. Missouri had a nice win today, but Missouri does not have the same kind of talent that Georgia does. And so when an athlete, when you lose a one-on-one, you panic and you know, draw a pass interference penalty, or, you know, commit one, or you get beat and you hold. You know, that happens. But so many of Tennessee's mistakes were false starts. There's a snap infraction. There was one false start where they weren't set. I mean, just – and a couple of those came, you know, after they had good, positive, you know, efficient plays. So, I think in total there were 6 penalties on the offense. I think they were all on the offensive line. So, and I think just one of them was holding. So, a tough day for that group. It's a prideful group. You would expect them to bounce back, and they're obviously going to see a lot of things on film that aren't going to look good. It's not going to be a fun film session for them, but it's probably not going to be a fun film session for anybody on Tennessee's football team. It's going to be hard to figure out some positives to take from this game, honestly. And that's a shame, because Tennessee played, put itself in position to have a lead at halftime, and you thought, hey, they may have something here, but then they didn't.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that defense in the second segment, because I do think there are some positives, legitimate positives, you can take away defensively from that performance today. I also think there are a lot of things that you're going to have to sit there and criticize Tennessee for, and, you know, every position group, some stuff on the coaches. I mean, there's a lot of things that they got to tighten up defensively. But there were also some positives there. Offensively, I don't know many positives other than we knew Josh Palmer was a football player. He showed it again with a couple of big-time touchdown catches. Some Georgia people think he may have gotten away with an offensive pass interference on one of them. I'm not positive about that. I think it would have been a tough call to go against Tennessee there.
Well, Georgia people also thought that Bryce Thompson was not interfered with on a play. He would have intercepted it if he wasn't grabbed. They were booing that very vehemently too. So not sure what they were seeing. Some of those calls today.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I guess you'll see that everywhere, but yeah, that's fair. I do think that before we move on in the second segment and talk about the defense, I think offensively there's a couple things that we need to get out there. One is that Jeremy Pruitt was emphatic Saturday night when he said that Tennessee, he did not consider making a quarterback change. He did not think that it would matter because Tennessee wasn't protecting anyone. And I think the only, you know, the argument you could have made if you wanted to make a change would be that you needed someone with more mobility, maybe to get away from some of those pressures. But Brian Maurer would be that guy, and he had, you know, he's been banged up a little bit, maybe not running quite as well as he normally does. So, Tennessee would have needed an athletic, a really, really athletic running quarterback, to get away from some of those pressures from Georgia today. They lost that game up front. And I think that's, you know, I do want to give credit to Georgia, because that is an incredible defense. You look at the statistics from the past 2 seasons, guys, there is nothing fluky about that. When you are that good for that many games in a row, you are elite defensively. They're rolling in 4-star and 5-star prospects at so many positions. They're really, really good. They've got, you know, an experienced guy on the back end too, in the count. They've got all the pieces there. So they are the kind of program Tennessee is trying to build. But my thing, Pat, before we go to break here, is that I have seen, and we have seen in college football in the past several years, I have seen teams much worse than this Tennessee team beat teams that are as good as that Georgia team. Georgia last season, South Carolina goes in there and shocks them, right? Bama's had a couple of stinkers over the years that have been surprising. I have seen teams do that. The problem is, in these games, Tennessee just does not give itself a chance to put legitimate pressure on the other team. Tennessee, if it had just not completely self-destructed in the third quarter, just go 3-and-out on those first 2 drives. Punt the ball downfield, put some pressure on Georgia. They don't have a great quarterback. He's okay. He's just not great. He's not going to put you on his back and go win a ton of games for you unless there's people around him. But they didn't give themselves a chance to do that. And if you don't have as much talent as the other team, you have got to put pressure on that team and make them uncomfortable and make them make mistakes. And Tennessee in the second half just did not give itself a chance at all.
Yeah, and you know, that's what we talked about, turnovers, penalties. I mean, those, you know, missed assignments, those kind of things can – those will get you beat. You know, I think Tennessee through 2 games, I think for the large part of the last 2 games, they look like a well-coached football team. They didn't look like a well-coached football team today. Just mistakes that
– True.
At some point, you know, when you have, what, 4 or 5 false starts, it's one, you're wondering if the moment is too big for you. Where you're getting in, you're kind of getting maybe stage fright. And so that, you know, this was the biggest game Tennessee has played in a while. And you wonder, you know, they were expected to compete. Sometimes you can, you know, the element of surprise can be on your side. And I think Tennessee did a lot of, you know, I think they did do some good things to stay in the game as long as they did, you know, defensively after the two turnovers. They forced field goals on those first two. And really, I think Georgia went backwards on both drives. I mean, I think that was, you know, they stayed in the game there, but the offense was just so bad in the second half that eventually the defense was going to kind of gas out a little bit. And, you know, when you're fighting uphill like that, you know, that's what's going to happen. And, you know, sometimes some of these games get surprised, you know, some of these teams, as you mentioned, get surprised, kind of find themselves in a game and then they, you know, they don't know how to respond. Talking about maybe Georgia losing to South Carolina last season. This was a good response by Georgia because Tennessee, you know, had them, you know, it was a, I don't want to say a quiet stadium, you know, but there were stretches in the first half where it was, you know, the second play, because he gets a defensive touchdown on a gift of a terrible shotgun snap.
Yeah. An all-time bad shotgun snap.
I mean, and then, you know, at the end of the half, you make those plays down there on the goal line, which was a great great goal line stand by Tennessee's defense. But then, you know, it got to the point where in the second half, the offense was, you know, their inability to move the ball, I think kind of took its toll on the defense. You know, complimentary football, it's a Bush Jones term, but a lot of other coaches use it, and that's part of it too. You know, how your offense plays can sometimes impact how your defense plays. So and Tennessee made a lot of mistakes on defense. They let some guys get wide open. Some mistakes in the secondary. I think Jeremy Pruitt was pretty frank about some of the things that they did on third down they shouldn't have called because they couldn't execute them right. I think Sean Schamberger was rusty. I think he even got replaced there late in the game.
Yeah, he did.
After giving up a touchdown. So a lot of things that you know, Tennessee will find that they did wrong. And I do want to make one more thought on the quarterback situation. Like I said, I don't think it would have mattered if Garantano had been replaced or not. Up until that last drive, I thought, you know, after they got the stop there, after they got the fumble, and let's keep in mind, you know, Tennessee needed a pass breakup in the end zone and a fumble to keep up from giving 50 in this game. But then after that, I thought they might put Shroud in to get him some reps, but maybe they're saving him for the Sunday scrimmage. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that the my final thought here in the first segment is that I think the frustration can be that, you know, Garantano has been around for so long. And I understand, and I don't even know that it's wrong. I understand why, as a fan, you might sit there and go, you know what? They've just proven time and time again that they're not going to win really, really big games with this guy under center because he doesn't get it done in those games. And I understand that frustration. And if you're Jeremy Pruitt, you got to, you know, if you want to argue here and play devil's advocate, you got a decision to make because on one hand, you are trying to win as many football games as you can right now because you owe that to your team. Those guys work their tails off, especially in a year like this where everything's been so weird. You owe those guys everything you've got to win as many games as you can win. On the other hand, if you're trying to build something here and you're trying to move forward as a program, ultimately you want to be beating teams like Alabama and Georgia. And are you going to do that with Garantano playing quarterback? And you know, unless something weird happens, the jury's sort of decided that one. So I do understand the frustration, and I understand the argument. I just don't know if you're Tennessee that you're there yet. Maybe you are, but I don't think you're quite there yet.
Well, and I'll just be honest. I think changing quarterbacks is an oversimplification of a bigger issue. I think Tennessee's got a lot more problems that they need to fix. Other than the quarterback situation, you know, the backup quarterback is always perpetually the most popular guy on the team.
He's automatically
better than the starting quarterback. The starting quarterback struggles, and the third stringer is probably better than both of them. So, I think Tennessee they need to play better at quarterback. I don't think there's any question, and I think Jarrett Garantano will be the first one to tell you that. But they need to play better in a lot of other places on the offensive line too. I think that's a lot of other places on the offense, let me say that, including the offensive line. So it's just there were a lot of things that went wrong today, and it's easy to point and, you know, say number two, it's his fault, bench him, all that stuff. But I don't know that it's at that point just yet.
I think that's fair enough. Guys, we got plenty more to discuss about this game. There's we haven't discussed, I don't think, or talked enough about Tennessee's defense, because there were some significant positives, in my opinion anyways, with that group in this game. And there were a lot of things that are frustrating and a lot of things that we'll have to discuss that aren't so great. But if you're looking for something to build on, I think you can see something again with that group. And I think we need to discuss that in the second segment. Before we do that, though, we're going to step away, pay some bills, listen to products, services, in-house ads, other fun things, and we'll be right back here on the Go Balls 24/7 podcast. Hashtag ad.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to the Go Vols 24/7 podcast, brought to you by whatever products and services and in-house ads you just heard a moment ago during that commercial break. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. Patrick Brown coming to us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the southeastern United States in a hotel, and we will leave it at that. Pat, we got a lot to discuss, a lot more to discuss from Tennessee's 44-21 loss at Georgia today, at third-ranked Georgia, down there at Sanford Stadium. Before we do that, though, I'm going to remind you again, or ask you again, I should say, please go in there and take just a second and subscribe to this podcast, mash that subscribe button, and then rate and review this podcast. Whether you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, wherever you can cast a fine pod, you can find the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. And we're happy to do this for free. We really are. But the one thing we're going to ask for, if you could take just a minute, just a couple minutes, go in there and rate and review this podcast. Drop us a line in there. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you like. If there's something that you want to see improve, tell us that. If there's something that it's a question or a topic that you want to see us discuss, if there's something that that you really want to hear from us, please go drop us a line. We are not above constructive criticism, guys. We are not. We see how much this is improving. We see the numbers every week. It's just amazing, and we're eternally grateful for it. But the one thing you can do that will help us more than anything, other than talking to some friends and telling them to subscribe also, is just subscribing to it and rating and reviewing. Please, please, please go do that. Pat, when you see that Georgia scores 44 points against Tennessee, you think probably some things did not go right defensively. Now, in fairness, Georgia got, you know, a touchdown on defense. Georgia got two really, really short fields that turned into field goal drives there. So that's 13 points or so just straight off the bat that should not have happened and cannot be pinned on the defense. So I think you have to keep it within reason there. Plus, you have to consider that Tennessee was, again, you know, 4-for-17 on third down, just did not have one snap in Georgia's red zone, I believe, in the entire football game, which is just, I don't know that I've ever seen that from a Tennessee team before. That's just crazy to think about. But I think defensively, there are some things that you can talk about that are good. I think you saw some mental toughness from that group. I think you saw just really, really good short yardage defense. Tennessee forced Georgia, which is a really good football team with some good backs, really good offensive linemen, forced Georgia to have to go play action pass on a goal to go play from the 1 yard line, because every run they tried to get into the end zone that way did not work. So they got some big, big stops. They made some big plays. I think that needs to be said. But there were also some plays that you just can't have. Georgia was 8-of-16 on third down. Tennessee had lost DeAndre Johnson, one of its best pass rushers there, 3.5 sacks the first two games. he gets himself booted from the game in the first quarter with just one of the dumbest targeting penalties you will ever see. Trayvon Flowers drops a pick in the end zone, some holding penalties, some DPI penalties, some things that really bothered me, including having to take back-to-back timeouts in the third quarter of a close game because you can't get properly lined up and you don't have enough guys on the field. I know Tennessee had some injuries. I know it's been a weird year with COVID, but that just cannot happen. And that I think that's the eighth timeout Tennessee's taken in the past two games on defense, which is just that's too many. There's some things they've got to clean up there. I think there were some positives, and we can discuss that, Pat. But we know Jeremy Pruitt and Derek Ansley. We know how good of coaches they are. We know the sort of pressure they put on themselves and the CVs they have in that area. But that just – they did not look especially well-coached today on that side of the ball, I didn't think.
Well, I thought they had some good calls, and you saw some adjustments. I think after Stetson Bennett made a couple of plays with his legs, one time where I think he just outran Roman Harrison and Kevon Bennett, then he had the scramble for the touchdown where Pruitt was – there was a pretty clear block in the back on Bryce Thompson that was not called.
That's fair.
But they did some things on third down where they switched up one of their dime packages and sort of drop Morvin Joseph into a kind of a spiral. I think that worked a couple times. But they had too many mistakes where they let guys loose. And I do think they missed DeAndre Johnson there in the second half. Although Roman Harrison did have a sack early in the game. I think they were getting the job done there for two and a half, two plus quarters. And then I think the defense just sort of wore down there a little bit, but yeah, Pruitt said after the game that, if you can't make calls on third down as a staff, if your players can't execute them, I think they probably maybe got a little bit too complicated at that point or at some points. The timeouts, I don't think that's a huge deal. I mean, you can't have a third down where you have 10 guys on the field, and you can't, sometimes you just get caught in tempo and you have to burn a timeout as opposed to giving up a 5-yard penalty for having 12 guys if a guy gets off late. So sometimes that's going to happen. I think they gave up too many big plays. Kyrus Jackson was a guy that Tennessee needed to worry about. I think he's been George's best receiver, even better than George Pickens this season. And
agreed.
It took a while for Jackson to come alive. Then he made some big catches there in the second half as Georgia kind of got it rolling. And Tennessee just left him open once. And then another time he just got open. So, the goal line defense was good. I thought Henry Toto had a great game. That guy was everywhere, from what I thought.
Yeah, he got beaten pretty bad in pass coverage early in the game for a big play, but after that, he really, really played a good football game.
And they didn't cover, they didn't cover the tight end again. Same song, different verse, but they did a lot of good things. But then as the game wore on, you saw more missed tackles. You saw, Kendall Milton, I think, is Georgia's best running back, and they should give him the ball more. But maybe he fumbled there at the end. Maybe that's why they don't give it to him more.
He's a freshman. They got some older guys. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
And you saw more missed tackles and things like that. But I think that's where the game boiled down to from Jeremy Pruitt's point of view was the turnovers. And some of the third down mistakes that they made on defense, because would you say they were George 8-16?
Yes.
And a couple of those times it was third and manageable where they just turned around and handed the ball off. So, but some of those situations were breakdowns that Tennessee had chances to get off the field. I mean, there were two big third downs on Georgia's first touchdown drive. So it's 23-21, right? Third quarter, you're still in the game.
Yes,
you've come up with two stops, and then you've got, I think, a third and seven, maybe a third and ten, and you let Jackson get loose on both of them. So, you had a couple PIs early in the first half with at one point Pickens got behind Alante Taylor. He panicked and grabbed him. It happens. I mean, it happens in a game when maybe you get beat deep and you have that moment where I don't want to get beat deep.
In college, that's a smart play. Yeah, in college, that's a smart play.
I don't know about the one on McCullough. I think he might have been just going for the ball. And the thing about that play is even if he hadn't interfered with him, that ball was so far behind Jackson, he was not going to catch it. It was such an errant throw. And then even before that play, though, I think, Bennett served one up into double coverage and Trayvon Flowers. You have to make that play. I mean, you got two guys there. guy gives you a, you know, when you're an underdog and you get a play like that, you have to make it. And that was a, you know, I think they ended up scoring on that drive, right? So that was,
yeah, they got a touchdown on that drive.
Yeah. So that was, you know, that was a big play at the time that, you know, turned into an even bigger one. So that's just, you know, Tennessee's defense, I think, did some better things than Tennessee's offense, but still a lot of things that they're going to watch on Sunday, and they're just going to shake their head at as a staff and as players.
Yeah, Pat, I'll tell you what concerns me a little bit, and maybe it's not shocking after what these guys went through in camp with COVID and everything, but and I know people get tired of hearing that word, but it affects everyone differently, every program differently, and Tennessee at certain positions just got hampered by it pretty good there in preseason camp, and especially there in the secondary, I think, at times. And there are – the communication issues in that group are really – really been kind of a downer, at least for me this season, in terms of watching it, because you know how well, I mean, Tennessee's got just an absolutely fantastic group of defensive backs coaches. Jeremy Pruitt's one of the best defensive backs coaches around, and Derek Ansley's right there also. This guy was the highest paid DBs coach in the NFL not long ago. So, I mean, these guys are really good defensive backs coaches. I think we knew that when they lost Nigel Warrior that some communication issues on the back end might flare up early in the season. But especially after Alante Taylor went out, they had some hard time communicating again. And this goes back to, I think it was the first play last week where they had another communication issue on defense. And they just, that seems to be cropping up a lot in the back end. And that to me is kind of disappointing, because you're going to give up plays now and then, that's going to happen. But you have to know what you're doing, and you have to know where you're going and what your assignment is. And where you're supposed to be. And I don't think that there's been too many times this season, I think, where that's been a problem for Tennessee. And feel free to tell me, Pat, if you think I'm being too harsh there. I think that with the pedigree that those coaches have defensively, especially in the secondary, that's something that's got to get cleaned up.
Yeah, I thought Sean Schamberger had a rusty game today. He looked like a guy that was playing for the first time this season. I think he's practiced the past 2 weeks while he hasn't been playing. But, you know, makes a wrong step here in zone coverage, lets the guy get open, gets beat off the line, you know, gives up a couple plays over the middle early and late. So, you know, defending in the middle of the field has been a problem for Tennessee all season, and Georgia really took advantage of it. They had the one play with – it was sort of a fluky play where I think it was Burton caught the ball on a crossing route, and they've got him – you know, they're doing what their coach do. They got him bottled up. They got three guys there. Jalen McCon comes and rips the ball out, and, you know, Georgia center is hustling down the field and catches it on the fly. And, yeah, you know, he got tripped up. He might still be running.
He made up for that snap early in the game with that play. That was an unbelievable hustle play. That's like a game ball kind of play. Give him credit.
Yeah, and that, you know, but that's, you know, there's just not as, and McCall had a great hit early in the game too that stopped the big play. So they just, it's sort of an inconsistency deal with the secondary, because they'll have good plays, they'll have good coverage plays sometimes. You know, I think Pickens made a great, you know, made a juggling catch on Alante Taylor when Alante was in pretty good position. You know, obviously Bryce Thompson had good position on Darnell Washington when he drew an OPI, and you see some good things from really every level of the defense, not just the secondary, but then you know, linebacker gets beat in coverage, or JP gets beat by a tight end. You know, they just – inconsistency's been sort of a thing, and that's, you know, is that chalked down to, you know, what went on in the preseason? I don't know. But they have good stretches, and then, you know, they give up a big play or can't get off the field on third down, and it's just they got to iron out some of the things. Like I said, as a staff and as players too, you know, the coach have to make the right calls and get the team prepared during the week. But, you know, push comes to shove, players also have to execute too. And sometimes there's situations for Tennessee on defense where they don't execute like they're supposed to. And sometimes the other team just makes a play, and Georgia did some of that too on Saturday.
Yeah. And when you look at the numbers, I mean, Tennessee held Georgia to 3.9 yards per carry. And Zamir White, who's Georgia's feature back right now, had 50 yards on 22 carries. That's 2.3 a pop.
They did a good job on White, but that the overall rushing number is torpedoed by that lost 30-yard snap.
Yeah, that's probably fair. That's fair. I mean, but then again, yeah, I mean, that's actually a really good point. I'm going to give you that one, Pap. So they would have been probably over that would have put them at probably 222 or 223 for 49 carries. That would have made them still just around 4 yards a carry. You can live with that. It's not great, but I guess my point here is that overall I was much more concerned about their pass coverage than their run coverage heading into this game, and I'm still there now because I think that if you can spread the field a little bit in some situations and you can just get some matchups against Tennessee's kind of inside cover guys, whether that's a linebacker, whether that's the nickel, that's just they're having a really hard time there.
Yeah, defending the middle of the field, and like I said, you thought that would be alleviated some by Sean Schamberger's return, and like I said, I think he was rusty. You know, you can practice even if you're not playing, but you have a moment when, you know, there's nothing like game shape, right? And maybe that was something where his first game of the season, it was the opener for him, but not for everybody else. And I think that showed a little bit.
I think that's fair. Pat, before we step out of here, you know, this is Tennessee has not lost a game in, I guess, basically a calendar year almost. An 8-game winning streak has gone kaput. The Vols are now down to 2-1, but there are still 7 games left in this season. And that was a really, really wacky Saturday in the SEC. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anybody do to Alabama's defense what Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss did today. They didn't win the game, but and that was just a weird. It was weird to see Alabama having that happen. And then, of course, the big shocker of the day, Missouri hosts LSU and beats LSU, a game that was originally supposed to be in Baton Rouge, got moved to Missouri. But Missouri, who got beaten soundly the week before by Tennessee, just 7 days later, goes out there and beats LSU. And maybe, you know, LSU obviously is not what it was last season, but that's still a ton of athletes there, so a big win there. And then Florida goes to Kyle Field and to Texas A&M and loses one of the early games on Saturday also. So this is a weird year. I think, again, we're seeing that there's a couple teams there, Alabama and Georgia, that are just kind of better, more talented than the rest of the pack. But there's a lot to play for this season. And Tennessee, I think, if you want to take something away from this game, Pat, it's that Tennessee – the good news is that almost all of the mistakes Tennessee made in this game against Georgia are correctable. The bad news is, why did they happen in the first place? But if, you know, hosting Kentucky next week, you got a chance to get the thing back on the tracks. And, you know, there's no shame in losing at Georgia. Should have been a closer game, probably. It wasn't. But I don't, you know, there's just a lot to play for right now. And it's a weird year, so let's see what happens maybe.
Yeah, it is a weird year, and I think today in the league proves that it's really unpredictable. I mean, just think of how, you know, things look different from week to week. You know, that Missouri win for Tennessee looks a lot better now because they had, well, they put up 45 points on LSU. Now LSU's defense, I think, has some serious troubles. I would be surprised. I don't know how long Bo Pelini's going to last there.
Yeah, that's you know, but it should lead to some more elite faux Pelini tweets though,
and it could be a deal where you know Mississippi State lit them up in week one, and Mississippi State's pass offense has been in the tank since. I mean, KJ Costello looks like a Heisman contender in that game. Everybody gave him the week one Heisman, and then they lost to Arkansas, and he got benched tonight. Against Kentucky, Mississippi State scored 2 points. So everybody that was crowning Mike Leach is they're back in the woodwork.
Yeah, Kentucky beat Mississippi State 24-2, despite having something like what 150, 160 yards, something like that offensively. Just a really, yeah, really, really weird game.
What, 6 interceptions, I think. So that's going to be if you're Tennessee. You know, and, you know, Auburn looks beatable. Arkansas looks like it's going to be a tougher game. A&M a week ago was like, you might be able to get that one. Now it's like, okay, and it's pretty good. So it's just, it's going to be the nature of the season, I think, for everybody other than Georgia and Alabama. I think those, and even Alabama tonight was, you know, pushed pretty hard by Ole Miss. So.
Yeah, if Ole Miss had anything resembling a defense, that could have been fun.
Well, nobody in the league is playing defense except Georgia, apparently.
That's true.
All the scoring. going on. I mean, you had a 41-38 game, 45-41, 63-48. I mean, just some crazy. I mean, this league has turned into the Big 12. And so that maybe puts a little bit of an alarming when you look at Tennessee's offense and you're like, well, they scored 35 last week, but and Georgia's defense is going to make a lot of offenses look ordinary. Let's just be honest.
True.
But for Tennessee's standpoint, you got to bounce back because it's Kentucky at home. You've beaten Kentucky at home every year since I've been alive. I think even since you've been alive, and you're a lot older than me. So
I think maybe one time they lost. I think it was 84 when Kentucky won in Knoxville. I'm not sure, but regardless, it does not happen often. Let's put it that way.
Kentucky run the ball really well. I think they're a little bit one-dimensional offense, but they appear to be pretty good on defense. You know, because we say that, and Ole Miss went up and down the field on them last week. So it's just a weird year in the league, and I don't know. I'll have to go look at our picks. I might have missed every single one in the SEC. Yeah, I think I might have got South Carolina against Vanderbilt. Yeah, I think that might be one I picked right.
Yeah,
just kind of shows what this league is going to be like. And for the other teams, we'll say the other 11 teams, because it looks like Vanderbilt is clearly the dreg of the conference. You know, it's going to be whoever plays best on Saturday is going to win. Everything else is pretty much going to go out the window. I mean, we'll have to see what Georgia and Alabama look like. That's going to be obviously a huge game next week that we'll fortunately get to watch because Tennessee and Kentucky's nooner. But if you're Tennessee, you absolutely have to, you can't let Georgia beat you twice. I know it's a cliche, but it's true. You have to kind of hit the reset button. And, after Tennessee watches the film of this Georgia game, I think they will be eager to go about there and try to right some of their wrongs, and get back to, and start a new winning streak.
Yeah. And a poor one out for Arkansas. We can't not mention that. That was maybe the worst call I've ever seen. The SEC can say whatever they want about it, but yeah, when you throw the ball backwards on a spike, yeah, that's a fumble, and that just can't happen. So pour one out for the Hogs there. I thought they might have earned that one, but such is life, right? Pat, anything else from you before I let you go?
I think that's it.
I think that's a good place to leave it then, Pat. Thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Wes.
Did I just thank my own coworker for joining us on our own podcast? I think I did, but you know what? It's after midnight, and guys, that's just how it is. Thanks for tuning in. As always, you can find all of us on Twitter. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Patrick Brown's P Brown 24/7 on Twitter. Grant Ramey is Grant Ramey on Twitter. And Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. If you want just Tennessee news, nothing else, you can get that at twitter.com/govals247, or you can go to facebook.com/govals247 and you can get tons and tons of Tennessee stuff on there. Some other stuff, but mostly Vol stuff are there. Facebook.com/govals247. You can also go directly to the source, get that just delicious East Tennessee Mountain spring water right from the tap. Georgia can't take that away from you. Georgia can't take the water away from you, Vols. Remember that. You can get that at govols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets to get Tennessee football news, football recruiting news, basketball news, basketball recruiting news, baseball news, Lady Vols news with Maria Cornelius, who does an awesome job covering the Lady Vols for us. All kinds of stuff there. And you can join a huge community there on the Checkerboard, and you can talk Tennessee sports with everyone 24/7. Also get questions answered from us just about 24/7 also. You can get that there. And if you pay us full price for a subscription, which is less than one cheap, mediocre lunch per month, you can get access not only to GoVols 24/7, but also to CBS All Access, which is CBS's streaming platform. Tons of stuff on there. Every show CBS has ever made, commercial-free, new movies in and out every month. Live sports, football, basketball, college stuff, NFL stuff, SEC stuff, Vol stuff, NCAA basketball, March Madness, SEC hoops, World Series of Poker stuff, UEFA Champions League, UEFA Europa League, all of that, plus stuff from Nickelodeon for the kids. Also, you got BET, MTV, Comedy Central. That ring a bell for you? Smithsonian. All kinds of good stuff on there. And you get that. That's $100 plus annual value that we will give you for free if you're a full paying member to GoVol 24/7. That's a pretty good deal, guys. If nothing else, you should hear from us on Monday, unless anything crazy happens on Sunday, which, hey, it's Tennessee, you never know. But most likely you'll be hearing from us again on Monday. So be careful, everyone, with this weather, and avoid the COVID. We'll see you soon.
See you.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.